Hi, I'm Glenn.
And I'm Jim, and welcome to The Backstage Show.
Like, hold on, man. I thought The Backstage Show was, you know, over.
Huh? Who said that?
Me, man. It's Shaggy and my old pal Scoob.
Rhea!
Jim, I think we've been hijacked by the Scooby-Doo show.
Oh, great. Last time it was the Muppet Show.
Well, at least it's holiday appropriate. Face it, man. This isn't the Backstage Show anymore. You guys talk about, like, TV and movies and nostalgia now.
What are you talking about? We've always talked about theater.
Oh, yeah? Then let's just see who's really behind this podcast.
Wait a second. It's us, Glenn and Jim.
Zoinks! And this isn't the Backstage Show.
It's That's Our Show.
Rats our row. Welcome to our special Halloween episode of That's Our Show.
Yes, thanks for enduring our little shenanigan there.
Yeah, we have fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we were taken over by Scooby-Doo.
Yes, completely unrelated to us.
Yes, we thought we were doing another thing of the Backstage Show. All right, yeah, I don't think we can stretch that out that far. But now we have regained relative normalcy and are ready for our Halloween special on Halloween specials.
Yeah, how meta, right?
Yes. So, Scooby-Doo specials, were there any?
I'm sure there were, but you know what? I don't know if they were, I'm not sure if they were actual television specials. They were just either the normal episodes of the show, or I think they had special movies or direct-to-video, whatever.
There's actually been a couple of Halloween Scooby-Doo movies, like, in the last 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen any of them.
They're still on it, but yeah. But those are feature-length movies. We're more talking about specials, and we're going to kind of cover three basic eras of specials.
You could say that, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, we kind of lumped these into, I guess, what you'd consider to be maybe classic Disney shorts that have been compiled together into specials.
Well, that's our first segment, yes. Classic right. Disney shorts, like from the 20s and the 50s, beginning with, well, what to me is like one of the first ones. I didn't even rewatch this just because it's in my head enough, and that's The Skeleton Dance from 1929.
That's right. Yeah, that was obviously one of their earlier shorts. I think that was their first silly symphony, or one of the first silly symphonies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's your typical, it's dancing skeletons.
Yeah, it doesn't really have a plot.
Hence the skeleton dance. Isn't there like the are they doing the marimba on the ribs thing?
Yes, they did that.
Yeah, that's in there.
It's really just a bunch of sight gags. It's sort of, when I was younger, I had seen some various film strips, and there were a couple different versions of them that were visuals that accompanied Danse Macabre, the symphonic tone poem by Camille Saint-Saëns. The skeleton dance reminded me of those, but obviously the music was completely different.
Right.
But same kinds of sight gags and skeletons dancing in the graveyard, that kind of stuff.
Have you heard the relatively modern song, Spooky Scary Skeletons?
Not sure.
Spooky Scary Skeletons and Shivers Down Your Spine.
No.
For some reason, that always makes me picture the skeleton dance. And I don't know if there's a video of it that uses the skeleton dance. I mean, that's public domain at this point, right?
Probably.
So, yeah. But anyway, that, as far as I'm aware, is like the first real Halloween animation.
Certainly one of the first I'm aware of.
It's an early example of animation just altogether. I think it was one of the first sound cartoons?
Might have been, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that would have been around the advent of sound.
It would have been nice to do a little research before this. Let's just move on then.
All right.
Clearly, we don't know enough to talk about this. So let's see if we know anything about the next thing. This was one I was not familiar with that you brought to my attention.
Ah, yes. Disney's Halloween Hall of Fame was actually a Halloween episode of the weekly program The Wonderful World of Disney, originally aired in 1977, and it was the newer segments of it were hosted by the comedian Jonathan Winters, and he plays a couple different characters in this. He plays a security guard with his dog who is, he's the night watchman at, I guess it's a Disney studio, because I think the lead-in was him playing with various props from different Disney movies and whatnot.
It was the Disney studio at the time, I believe. Right.
Okay, and then he finds this crystal ball, and inside it is a jack-o'-lantern, which he also plays. And the jack-o'-lantern is hiding from Halloween because he's tired of it, tired of what it's become. And the Night Watchman ultimately takes it upon himself to try to talk him into, not disappointing all the children by doing what he's supposed to be doing on Halloween.
Well, let's not spoil the whole thing now.
Well, that's just the framing story.
Spoiler alert from, 50 years ago.
Now, there were a couple similar Disney compilations of Halloween-themed shorts that they did. Another one was, I think, called Disney's Halloween Treat, which didn't...
I think that's the one I'm more familiar
with. Okay. I think it had a slightly different set of shorts involved with it. This particular version, which was the one I was familiar with seeing as a kid that I remembered, had four different segments to it, three of which were Disney shorts, and one was more of a long form. It was actually part of a feature-length film.
Mm-hmm.
So the three short ones were Trick or Treat from 1952, and that had Donald Duck trying to play pranks on his nephews, Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
And back when they all looked exactly the same and had the exact same voice.
Well, they did all have the exact same voice, but they had different Halloween costumes.
Right, right. Yeah, when they rebooted Huey, Dewey, and Louie for...
DuckTales?
Yeah, for DuckTales, they actually gave them different voices. So you could tell them apart.
I'm not sure about the first DuckTales, maybe the more recent
one. No, the first DuckTales did not. DuckTales had all the same voice.
Yes, yes, right.
Yeah, it's just the reboot. Anyway. Yes.
So then they get help from a witch who decides to teach Donald a lesson.
Yes, and hilarity ensues.
Oh, yes. Then the next one was Lonesome Ghosts from 1937, which starred Mickey and Donald and Goofy. And they have a ghost extermination business. Doesn't that sound familiar?
Every time I see that, I start thinking, did Dan Aykroyd see this as a child or something?
Quite possibly.
Because there is something Ghostbusters-esque about it.
Yeah, except they're going in there with shotguns and axes to try to hunt ghosts.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that's just a cartoon. They're not taking it seriously.
Of course not. So it turns out it's the ghosts who are hanging out in an old abandoned mansion that kind of get bored, and they're the ones who decide to call up these Acme ghost exterminators or whatever they are, just to break up the monotony and have them come out and give them what for.
Bust some ghosts.
Well, more like
they hire them to bust themselves.
Yeah, more like the ghosts just wanted to taunt the Ghostbusters.
The ghosts bust them, yeah.
Then we have Pluto's Judgment Day from 1935.
Now, this is the one that was not on the stuff that the other Disney compilation that I was familiar with. I don't think I had seen Pluto's Judgment Day before watching it for this.
Okay. So basically Pluto's chasing around this cute little kitten, and then both get dirty and Mickey chides him for it and decides to give the kitten a bath while Pluto's banished to sitting in front of the fireplace. And then Pluto gets harassed by another cat who tries to taunt him and get him to chase him. And he ends up in this sort of really kind of hellish labyrinth kind of a thing where he's put on trial for all the mischief and aggravation and agony and worse things that he supposedly inflicted upon cats over the course of his life.
Indeed.
And then finally, we have, and this is the longer segment because this was taken.
And this is, it's the anchor.
Yes, it's the anchor. This was taken from a feature length film, The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad, originally released in 1949, but they just took the Ichabod segment, which is essentially their take on the Legend of Sleepy Hollow. And it's, I think, overall generally faithful to the story, but of course it plays up the silliness and slapstick of the characters as Ichabod is in Sleepy Hollow and he's courting Katrina Van Tassel, and Brom Bones keeps trying to butt in but keeps getting his comeuppance in various ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually just recently reread The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, the original.
Mm-hmm.
which should actually be out now or very well. It'll be out by the time this airs.
Ah, okay.
My audiobook compilation, Halloween Haunts, Volume 1.
Nice.
Which is included on that. And yeah, the Disney version is pretty much dead on with the original story. But yes, it definitely plays up the comedy quite a bit.
Sure, sure. At least up until the point where Ichabod is fearful of running into the Headless Horseman when he leaves the party.
Yeah, I mean, the big difference, I think, between the cartoon and the original story is in the cartoon, it's really Brom Bones who eggs him on to go out, whereas that's not really in the original story. But anyway, so this all stuff, the Jonathan Winters thing was basically just bookending these shorts. It was just an excuse to reuse what they already had.
Yeah, exactly.
And make it new. So Disney's always been good at making events out of old content. So,
well, if you think about it at the time, though, there wasn't really probably as extensive of a home video market.
Or any. In 1977, I don't think there was any home video market.
Well, maybe reel to reel, you know, on reels, perhaps. You know, we didn't get quite into the VHS era yet. So these were probably the only chances kids really got to see these older shorts. Mm-hmm. At the time, I'm thinking.
Now, did you see them when you were a kid or?
Yes. Not the original broadcast because, well, reasons.
yes, youngster.
But I think it got replayed on subsequent Halloweens, and I saw it sometime in the 80s. I don't remember exactly when. Probably the later 80s.
Despite the fact that I could have seen it when it was originally broadcast, I did not. As I said, I hadn't even heard of that one. But yeah, I mean, it's a good way to compile the old cartoons.
Yeah. And, you know, considering at the time there were a lot fewer television channels, you know, that was that was what you had to watch on TV. And certainly in the time I grew up, yeah, we had cable, but The stuff that was on the networks like this, the specials that were on networks like this were still kind of a big deal at the time.
Well, they were special because you could only see them once a year. Yeah. So when they were rerunning, it actually was special as opposed to now when you can just stream it anytime you want.
I know, right? I mean, it was the same thing. I remember as a kid, it was the same thing with The Wizard of Oz when they'd show that on network television once a year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I'd watch it every year.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's take a little break, and then we will move into our next segment, into the 1960s, which is, I guess, sort of half a step backwards. But
yes and no, because the shorts that we were just talking about, most of them predated the 1960s.
True, true. So we will move forward then, and we will be right back.
This Halloween, Blockbuster Video has a special treat for your whole family. You can take home any of these great Halloween classics for just $7.99. Or rent two movies and get them for $3.99. Now, if that's not a reason to scream, what is? Make it a Blockbuster fright.
And we're back.
Yes. Now we're going to firmly go into the 1960s.
Which is weird because this is the stuff I remember from when I was a kid and I was definitely not alive in the 1960s.
But they, I'm sure, reran it a lot.
Oh, yeah. I think they, well, I mean, I guess there's no such thing as a rerun anymore. But yeah, so we're starting off with the all-time classic, It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Ah, yes.
This was still getting aired
every year when I was a kid, too.
Yeah. And I mean, I watch it every year still. Do you watch it every year?
I don't watch it every year, no. But I did watch it this year.
Okay. You wanted to prepare.
Yes, I wanted to prepare.
There's a lot going on in this. There's Snoopy's World War I fantasy with the Red Baron.
The Flying Ace, yep.
There's Linus's conviction of the existence of the Great Pumpkin.
And yet he steadfastly does not believe in Santa Claus.
Yeah, I know. There's Lucy's loyalty. I always get a little teary at the very end when she goes out and gets her brother at, what, 4 in the morning or something and brings him inside and takes his shoes off.
Yes, yes. She's...
Even if he is a blockhead.
You blockhead. Yes, she still then, expresses concern for her little brother. And even set an alarm to expect to, you know, wake up and check to see if he'd come in yet.
Okay, see, I watched it this year with my son and my wife, and this was the same thing that she said. However, the clock rings 4.
Yes.
It's 4 o'clock.
Yes.
Is that an alarm?
Yes,
I think so. Or is that just, it doesn't just ring every hour?
I don't know. We didn't see what happened in the hours between 11 and 3, did we?
No. So that's why I feel like maybe it was it has an hourly chime.
I don't know. I don't remember what it sounded like.
We'll never know.
We could know if we went back and watched it again.
Not necessarily.
Well, to judge whether it sounded more like a chime or an actual alarm. I remembered it being more like an actual alarm.
To me, it just seemed like it's just chiming 4.
Okay.
Regardless, the one question that can never be answered is who the hell, where the hell do these neighbors get off putting rocks in a kid's Halloween bag? And it's always the same kid. Why are they, what do they have?
In singling out one kid to do it. That's profiling.
It's just, it's so wrong.
I got a rock.
Rocks, actual rocks. So wrong. Anyway, I know it's a great pumpkin. Charlie Brown is definitely one of my favorites, and I try to watch it every year.
Fair enough.
And the kid likes it too. So the other one that I put in this, that we put into the 60s here, is technically not a special. It's technically, it was a theatrically released movie.
Right, it was a feature. It was about an hour and a half long.
Yes, and it was entitled Mad Monster Party?
Yes, question mark.
Yes, there's a question mark at the end. Now, the reason that I put this in there is as far as I'm aware, it's Rankin and Bass's only entry into Halloween for the stop motion. They did animated stuff.
Okay. It's their signature animagic or whatever they called it?
Yes. And I believe it was Boris Karloff's last role.
Okay. Certainly one of the last.
Yes. And also included Phyllis Diller.
Yes.
At her Phyllis Dilleriest. for
Dillering it up.
Yeah, for those who know what that's like.
Do you forget the last time you had a roving eye? I kept it in a jar for a week.
Certainly an eccentric and big personality.
Yeah. And there's also, of course, the obligatory Peter Lorre impression.
Yes. There's a zombie butler of some kind.
Yes.
Whose head keeps coming off.
Yes.
So it's very weird. It's charming, though, I think.
I'd never seen it before until you told me about it.
And were you charmed by it?
It was kind of cute. It had some kind of silly moments that made me chuckle a bit, like for whatever reason the werewolf, when he made like this kind of like his kind of corny howling noises. And then you had, was it the main character, the main human character who was supposed to inherit the foundation of evil or whatever you want to call it, was basically a full-on Jimmy Stewart impression.
Right. It's silly. It's really dated, which,
yeah, it's got all your classic movie monsters, like, you know, your Count Dracula, your creature, Frankenstein's creature, his bride.
But I mean, even it just, the humor's dated. I don't know. I still kind of like it. When you look at it, The Great Pumpkin is kind of dated as well, but for some reason it holds up better.
It's more timeless, I think, in a way.
Well, when they start going through with like what they're all getting for Halloween, when they go trick or treating. And I mean, yeah, obviously The Rock is the big joke, but they're like, I got like $1.50. I got a piece of gum. I got a candy apple.
I got a rock.
I got a popcorn ball. Yeah. So all of that is kind of like not what they give out at Halloween anymore, but.
Well, okay. So maybe that's changed a little bit, but the general idea is not much different.
Yeah. And I don't know if Snoopy would be having Gulf War fantasies now or what the deal would be with that.
Oh, jeez. Thing I was going to say about Mad Monster Party was, and maybe this is par for the course for the animagic, but it was just really impressive, the level of detail and the amount of painstaking time it must have taken to, you know, film all that movement.
Yeah. I mean, they're mostly known with the Animagic stuff for their Christmas specials.
Right.
You know, Rudolph and...
Yeah.
Jack Frost is one, I think. Or is that animated?
The Heat Miser, whatever that one.
World Without a Santa Claus.
I think that's the one, yeah. Or The Year Without a Santa Claus.
The Year Without a Santa Claus. Yeah, so those are, like, really what they're well known for, which is what makes Mad Monster Party kind of feel like somebody took a script for a half-hour special or an hour special and stretched it out.
Yeah, I could kind of see that a little bit. It did feel a little long.
Yeah, so it doesn't hold up as well, but it is impressive. You're right. I mean, all of the workmanship that they had was impressive.
Yeah, it was just incredible. It really blew my mind, I think, seeing multiple characters moving in different ways in different places all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Which nowadays would just be done with CGI.
I know.
Yeah. All right, that kind of covers. We were just going to cover those two for the 60s.
Yep.
So we'll take another break here.
And we'll come back with some 80s and 90s for you.
Trick-or-treat!
Ah, you've come for my delicious cereal, Count Chocula.
It's chocolatey good.
With a devilishly good chocolatey flavor and tasty marshmallows.
Wrong air, Count. Kids come calling for my Frankenberry cereal. It's frightfully good with strawberry flavor and tasty marshmallows.
What a treat!
Count Chocula!
Frankenberry!
We like both.
You can enjoy this good, nutritious breakfast with
Frankenberry, Count Chocula.
And we're back.
We are now stepping into our actual childhood, the 80s, the 90s. Although I guess the 90s was more my young adulthood, but regardless.
Yeah, that was a little past my childhood.
Yeah. So these were two that immediately popped into my head when we started talking about doing a Halloween special on Halloween specials. Garfield's Halloween Adventure and Boo to You, Winnie the Pooh.
Now, the first of the two I definitely saw as a kid because that was pretty much brand new when I was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was 15 when that came out, but I still do remember watching it as a kid.
Yep, and in rewatching it, I kind of enjoyed it again. I was a Garfield fan when I was a kid, so seeing this again kind of brought back memories.
Yeah, as was I. I mean, I always enjoyed his sarcasm and everything, mm-hmm. and the wonderful voice acting by Lorenzo Music was it's perfect.
Yep.
What surprised me is when I was doing the research on this is that it actually did win an Emmy.
Did it?
Yeah, it won the Emmy for Outstanding Animated Program that year.
Oh, well, I won't complain.
Yeah, I mean, I went back and watched it. It's certainly still watchable.
Yeah.
There's like some parts in it that like are almost bordering on scary.
Yeah, it kind of turns into a sort of more like a haunted ghost story towards the end of it.
Mm-hmm. But it's... Yeah. I mean, it's good. There's not much to say about it, though.
Kind of a side note. I didn't realize it was the first appearance of the Binky the Clown character.
Was that the first appearance
it
of
was,
Binky?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Hey, kids!
Which, for some reason, I don't know, I'm amused by.
Yeah, that's just stuck in my head from watching all the episodes of the TV show
yes,
as a kid.
Yes, Garfield and Friends.
Not the Binky the Clown TV show, the Garfield TV show. Yeah. So the other one we looked at for this was Boo to You, Winnie the Pooh.
Which I had never seen before.
I have always been a fan of Winnie the Pooh. So despite the fact that I was in my mid-20s when this came out, I had seen it before.
Okay.
And I did watch it again.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it again.
Fair enough.
The premise of that one is Piglet is scared of Halloween
right.
and keeps... trying to hide in fear and everything, and his friends try to comfort him, and then there's a whole mix-up, and everybody gets scared, and Piglet ends up rescuing them.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically.
It was cute. I think I could see it being meant for a kind of a pretty young audience.
Oh, for sure, for sure. It was on the tails of the New Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, which was mm-hmm. that, late 80s, early 90s show, and it really just, it was the same voice cast, and...
Mm-hmm.
Same writers and everything, I think. I mean, it does have, it's got one pretty good song in it, I think. I mean, there's only, I think, two songs. I think Piglet has one towards the beginning.
Yeah, he has a solo spot, I believe.
And then to me, the iconic song in it is Tigger singing, I Want to Scare Myself.
Tigger.
Which is just a fun little thing.
Yeah, I think out of that, the voice cast, I think The only one who was the original voice was Piglet, the speaking voice for Piglet.
Yeah, that was Fiedler.
Damn it.
John?
Maybe it was John.
Yeah, he was the only original, and they had also, by that point, replaced the Tigger voice with the same guy who does Winnie the Pooh.
Right.
Who was basically just doing an impersonation of Paul Winchell, who used to voice Tigger.
Right, right. And Eeyore was Peter Cullen.
I feel like Eeyore could just be anybody with a deep voice.
Probably best known as Optimus Prime for those following.
Thanks for noticing me. Yeah, I can't get down that low. Fix it in post. So, between the two of those, like, do you think... I mean, do you think either one of them was actually scary for a kid to watch?
I would say not the Winnie the Pooh one.
Oh, by the way, Pooh.
The Garfield one, yeah, the ghost skeletons were a little bit creepy when I was a kid.
Yeah, I kind of agree to that. I think Winnie the Pooh is just kind of the gentler.
Yeah.
The gentler side of Halloween.
Yeah, I could see that.
So now, do you have memories, like any specific memories of watching any of these Halloween specials as a kid?
Just how specific you want to go? I mean, I saw them on TV. So I do.
Well, what gets me, what's always stuck in my head was the opening they had. And I want to say it was the CBS opening, but I could be wrong. It might have been ABC that had like the special presentation thing. And it was the word special kind of rotating.
Yes, that was CBS. And it was in kind of rainbow colors and it had like the percussion going behind it.
Yep.
Yep.
And that is just so stuck in my head for some reason.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And that was before every special. It wasn't just the Halloween specials. They used that in everyone.
Yeah. Every special. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was CBS.
All right. Shall we take another break?
Sure. We'll be right back.
There's another box over there.
Dunkin' Donuts for Halloween. So good, it's scary.
Do you stay awake in the middle of the night? Does your partner pass gas in the middle of the night to cause you to stay awake?
What?
I don't know. Cut that out.
I'm going to use that as the actual commercial. Thank you for supporting our non-existent sponsors, and we are now back with you. And okay, so now we're in modern times here. We're talking about, you know, the 2000s to present,
like Charlie Chaplin. The...
No.
Okay.
And the lost art of the Halloween special, because they're really, I mean, I don't know if it's just a side effect of streaming or what, but there's not.
Yeah. I was watching some videos about people complaining about Halloween not being like it used to be, and a couple of them were kind of pointing to streaming as one potential contributor, and the fact that there's the absence of the, quote, monoculture, unquote, where pretty much everybody had the same relatively limited number of media outlets to watch the same TV specials on. Now that there's streaming, there's a lot more different choices of things to seek out and watch on your own time.
And it's practically unlimited, and you're not restricted by season. You can watch your Halloween specials any time of the year you want.
You can have Halloween in July.
You could, yeah. These specials that aired once a year, and you could only watch them once a year.
Yep.
That was event television.
Exactly.
Now, it's not that they don't do this at all anymore. There have been, like, a few scattered streaming specials.
Mm-hmm.
There have been newer ones, like, streaming like Toy Story of Terror.
Haven't seen it.
And I know I may or may not have seen it, but it's like, just because like they release these things and they're available and maybe it might be kind of special the first year. The only, you know what? This is sidetracking to Christmas, but there has been one franchise and they're making yet another one that has kind of stuck through streaming, and that is Prep and Landing. Have you watched those Christmas specials?
Never heard of it.
It's a 3D animated thing. It's Dave Foley does a voice on it. It's basically a couple of elves, and they get into different But regardless, that's something I've heard they're making a new one for this year, and they have come out with, I think, two or three of them already. So it's not completely dead.
Okay, keeping the dream alive.
I guess. But just with the shift, with streaming, with everything, Halloween, to me, it feels different than it felt as a kid. And I'm not just talking about, like, I no longer go out trick-or-treating and get candy, and I have a kid of my own who is doing that. That's not what's changed. I just feel like, I don't remember people decorating their houses when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah. And now it's like...
We always used to decorate, but not anything really outlandish. Just a couple, you know, a couple of those cutouts that you'd stick in the windows. That's about it. Not like the cemeteries in the yard and...
The window clings. Yeah, but that's what, like, everybody's doing now. It's like cemeteries and 12-foot skeletons and people doing up their lights like it's Christmas. It's crazy.
I have to wonder, where do you store that 12-foot skeleton the other months of the year?
I assume it comes apart. You have to bury it. You have to bury it for the other 11 months.
Just put a big tarp over it.
Yeah. Well, I have seen people that leave them out, like, for Christmas and put, like, a Santa hat on it, just because it's like, well, I paid all this money for a 12-foot skeleton.
And it's so damn big to have to try to put it away. I don't feel like it.
It's just weird. It's different.
It is, I guess. I don't do anything quite outlandish like that. I put out some pumpkins. I get mums. Mm. I put up stuff in the windows. On actual Halloween night, I'll put up a couple extra, you know, bats and skeletons kind of around the front patio for trick-or-treaters, but that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, we do have Halloween decorations. I haven't even gotten them out yet.
I just put ours up a couple days ago.
We certainly don't have, like, a ton of them. We have, like, a giant spider that I have that'll cling to the side of the house, and a couple of, like, a bat skeleton, cat skeleton, maybe some other light-up things. Nothing too big, though.
Yeah, I don't really have anything that lights up.
Then again, we don't really do Christmas that big either. We do have lights up, but I don't know. Kids today, I don't know, like, what are their Halloweens like? Do they have any equivalents to Halloween specials?
I don't know. I just don't know.
It's so sad.
Yeah, I mean, they just probably don't have quite the same opportunity we did to tune in and see, you know, event television on a network channel and only get to see it once a year.
Yeah.
That part is definitely not the same. Me, I have a tendency to break into the horror movies during Halloween or during the month of October.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, like, do you have, like, stuff that you do watch every year? Or do you watch any of the specials? Do you just watch movies? Or
I don't typically watch the specials, at least as a routine or tradition or anything like that, other than rewatching them this year for the purpose of prepping for this episode. But I do have a tendency to watch a bunch of horror movies around this time of year, including ones I haven't seen before.
Fair enough. I've never been big into horror movies. I like the classic Universal monsters, and I did have 1 year where I was rewatching all of those.
Well, that included. I've been rewatching some of those too. I rewatched Frankenstein over the weekend, and a couple weeks ago I rewatched Dracula, both the English and Spanish language versions.
Yeah. So personally, like, I usually try to rewatch some Halloween movies this time of year, but I don't always watch the specials. I think watching The Great Pumpkin is kind of traditional, and I'll usually see that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these other ones I haven't watched in years.
Well, me neither.
Yeah. So if they were going to make a new Halloween special, what would the ideal Halloween special look like today?
That'd be pretty tough, because I think the specials we talked about,
everything's so different.
Yeah, some of the specials we talked about kind of highlighted certain popular characters or sets of characters, like Garfield or Winnie the Pooh. And I don't know, I guess anymore, at least for me, it's hard to kind of tell who would be that popular of a character or universally appreciated of a character set to do a Halloween special around. I think it's more common anymore, or has become more common, that normal television series will feature a Halloween episode.
Yeah, they definitely still do that quite a bit.
I mean,
special episode as opposed to just a special.
Right. I mean, The Simpsons are famous for having done that since the second season of that show.
Yes, the Treehouse of Horror.
Treehouse of Horror, although that's certainly not exactly entirely kid-friendly.
No, I mean, it's as kid-friendly as the censors have deemed it over the years. It's probably gotten less so over time.
Well, I mean, I never really thought of that show as a kid show anyway.
No, I mean, it wasn't. It's definitely made for adults.
Even though I started watching it when I was 11 or 12.
Yeah, I was older.
And a lot of those were amusing because at least in the beginning, and I, you know, stopped watching the show years ago, but at least in the beginning, a lot of the segments they had on Treehouse of Horror were kind of parodies or takeoffs of well-known horror tales or movies or stories or things like that, but with the Simpsons characters plugged into them.
Right, right.
Like one of the early memorable ones, I think, from the first special was their reenactment retelling of The Raven.
Yeah, I think I kind of remember that. Nevermore.
Why, you little?
So I guess we've just determined that the Halloween special, the holiday special, is dead. Mostly.
Mostly
dead. It's just mostly dead.
Mostly dead, yes.
Yes. Who knows what the future holds? Maybe we'll make our own next year.
Okay.
But probably not, since...
Like, we haven't done a Halloween special for pretty much every podcast we've ever done.
No, I mean our own animated Halloween special.
Oh, God. Okay.
Possibly stop motion.
Oh, God.
We'll see. Start working on those skills.
You know what I always thought would be cool was to make a silent film, which perhaps is a little bit of a lead-in to what we're planning for the next mini-sode coming in a couple weeks. And I realize it's going to be a little bit late for the Halloween bandwagon, as it were, but I'm going to talk about silent horror films, how that kind of really started to fascinate me with the idea of silent films in general, but particularly gravitating towards silent horror films, and why I think they're pretty effective in some cases.
Yes, and this will be, I believe, the first solo Jim minisode.
Oh, I'm nervous.
I think you'll be all right.
I don't know if I can handle this. I'm gonna have to go back and listen to some of your solo minisodes so I can get the form and the inspiration down.
So I guess that about wraps things up, and Jim will be back with you in, I think this is 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yes.
Or is it three? 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
With that mini-sode, and then we'll be back again at the end of November with our Thanksgiving special. Probably not.
That, I think, is going to have absolutely nothing to do with Thanksgiving, if I recall correctly.
I doubt it. I doubt it. Meantime, that's our show. Was brought to you by the Backstage Group.
Engineered by Jim Balsarek and edited by Glenn Reed.
You can find us online at show.backstage.link or email us at show@backstage.link.
Please give us a rating wherever you listen to That's Our Show and spread the word by telling your friends to listen.
I mean, if everybody listening right now were to tell one friend and get them to listen, we'd be up to like... I don't know, we might not even be able to count it on two hands anymore.
Oh, man, we'll have to go to our toes.
But anyway, so 2 weeks, at least one of us will be back with a minisode.
But until then,
that's our show. We're almost 10 minutes in already, and I guess ready to start.
Part of the course.
Yeah.
I'm twiddling the knobs.
Twiddle your knobs on your own time. Whatever, there's like 5 people who listen to this. Who cares? Me, man. It's Shaggy. Why did I slip it to Kermit the Frog? It's Shaggy.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
Whatever that were words.
Yeah, it's a very early example.
Here's our special. I don't remember.
Freaking special. Enjoy.